Hello and welcome to the In for a Penny podcast. I'm Mark Schoffman, a freelance personal finance journalist, and I'm joined by my financial planner friend Joshua Gerstler, who runs an advisory business called The Orchard Practice.
Hello.
If you'd like to know a little bit more about us, you can check me out at www.cavendishcontent.com and Josh at www.topfs.co.uk.
Each episode, we aim to give our perspective on the world of finance and money, and discuss some of the issues that crop up in business as well as everyday life. We hope that you'll learn something from our podcast as well as have some fun too.
Thank you for downloading the latest episode of the In for a Penny podcast. In the same week that Boris Johnson's returned to work. Welcome back, Boris. Talks are still underway about getting the football season started or completing the football season. And whether they play from behind closed doors or call things off.
What do you reckon?
I think they should just play it all on FIFA or on Football Manager. No, I don't. I think they should complete it because it will create lots of tension otherwise. Lots of arguments about who should be relegated, who should be promoted. It will create too many issues. And imagine if Liverpool don't get to win the Premier League.
I know, what a shame that would be.
What a shame.
That's a serious comment. It would be a shame.
Yeah. We're going to talk more about football in a minute.
Okay.
I'll explain to you for why. But first, I want to talk about Zoom meetings because there's been a lot about businesses and people who are working from home turning to Zoom for their catch-ups and seminars and business-related stuff. But what I've been doing a lot of is Zoom quizzes.
We did one last night.
Yeah. Have you been doing
a lot of Zoom?
It's great fun. Yeah. They're fun, although I don't think they have the same pizzazz as a pub quiz for a couple of reasons. One, it's a bit harder to get drunk just sitting in front of a laptop. You feel a bit weird.
Yeah.
And the other one is,
you don't have to get drunk at a quiz.
Well, there's that. Yes, drink sensibly and all that. The other one is, there's not really a prize. Like, you're just playing for fun, which I guess is
you need to win, don't you, Mark?
I need something to aim for, some sort of cash prize.
Yeah, cash prize money.
Yeah, and the other one is, I don't know if I numbered my reasons, but...
You did the first one.
There's a lot of self-marking, so there's a lot of trust involved in these Zoom quizzes.
Yeah. We did last night, and it was self-marking. We didn't cheat because we thought, what is the point? for an online quiz, as you said, with no prize... What is the point of cheating in that? How sad would we be if we needed to cheat?
Where did you come?
We came fifth out of 14.
Very good. We came fifth out of less than 14.
And not so good, but well done for trying.
Thank you. What's your favourite quiz name?
Pub quiz.
You like team names?
Or supper quiz. That's two of my favourite quizzes.
Don't even get me started on a supper quiz. Now, why do you want to have a quiz where you have to eat and answer questions at the same time?
Well, you prefer to just eat in silence. You might as well have something to do whilst you eat.
Now, I think you need to focus on a quiz because otherwise you always have someone who's just sitting and eating and not contributing. So you're technically a few greedy team members down. Or you've got someone who isn't eating but is doing all the questions and may not know all the answers and they're just guessing because everyone else
is. So you basically want to go through a whole quiz without eating anything?
Well, you have your dinner first.
A man of your appetite, I'm surprised.
Well, you can snack, but as long as you've got one hand free.
Fair enough.
Your writing hand. So that's quizzes. What I want to talk about, because some of the Zoom conversations I've had is, I've been talking to friends about the stock markets and the economy being in tatters and kind of companies in trouble and people worrying about what they should do.
Well, you're so joyous on this eve.
With their money. Well, no, just I'm going to make this choice for you shortly because I thought a lot of people I really understand how stock markets work. And there's a lot of stories in the press at the moment, people saying why I'm selling out of this and that and why you need to get out, and why you need to go for gold or whatever, which I think highlights a misunderstanding of stock markets. Like, I know one person I was speaking to said, oh, should I just sell out now and go for gold, which obviously wouldn't be a good idea because you'd be cashing in your losses.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah. Mike, you've got it.
So thank you, that's the end of a podcast. So I thought But a lot of people don't understand, because you say cashing in your losses and people don't really see it as a loss because all they see is a loss. So what I thought I'd do is try, because you're a financial advisor, so you're used to talking to people about money, but I'm going to try and flip it on its head and see if I can come up with a way of explaining investments in a way that I think I'd like to understand it. And you see if you think this would work. Yeah.
Go
for it. Because we were talking about football before and the prospect of the Premier League resuming. What if investments were like a football team? So I've come up with a praise thee, an outline of why.
Hallelujah. Praise thee. Praise thee.
No, you're saying the wrong words. I'm about why a football team is like an investment portfolio. Okay, so I thought we'd talk about that, but also as we go, because we want to keep it casual and interesting. Not that finance isn't interesting. I also want to get your thoughts on your favourite players in the positions I'm going to mention. Okay. I mean, if listeners want to pitch in and add comments or email us or tweet us or Facebook us, they can do that as they're listening when this is released.
Great.
So, to you, there are certain positions in a football team that are like your investment portfolio. So I'm going to start with the goalkeeper, the first name on the team sheets in many ways.
Yeah.
So what's the most important thing for a football team, do you think?
What's the most important thing for a football team? To score more goals than the other team.
So winning.
Winning.
Yeah?
Yeah, forget the taking part. It's all about winning.
Forget the taking part and the profits and all the money from the fans. Most important is winning games. And so one of the ways is to score, but the other way also, you want to stop goals going in.
Oh, is that what you wanted me to say?
Yeah, yes, I did want you to say that.
You want to stop goals going in.
So would you say you want to minimise your losses?
Oh, I see where you're going here.
Yeah, yeah, reduce your losses. So yeah. And who does that on the pitch?
Goalkeeper.
Goalkeeper does, doesn't he? Yeah. So he's like your defensive assets, or to me, like your rainy day fund that you need. So your goalkeeper isn't going to score goals, or some may do, but most don't score goals. That's an accepted thing. So don't argue with me. And so they're not going to get massive, but they are going to stop goals. They're like your stability. So they're like your I don't know, your cash in some ways, or your rainy day fund for emergencies that you have there.
Yeah,
so
okay.
You've got cash, yeah?
Yeah.
What are there other sorts of defensive type assets I'm missing out there, do you think?
I think cash is probably the best one to have as your goalie, and your
you
might want some other defensive assets further up the pitch, but I'd go for cash as your goalie. Good thinking.
Okay. And is there a recommendation for how much you think your rainy day fund should be?
Yeah, we would normally recommend clients to have 3 to 6 months worth of expenditure as their emergency fund, as we call it.
So that's like your whatever you're spending on shopping and your mortgage and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, all your whatever your expenditure is, make sure you can cover 3 to 6 months worth of it from your savings.
Okay. Who is your favourite ever goalkeeper?
My favourite goalie has got to be Safe Hands, David Seaman.
Nice. Yeah, I'd agree with David Seaman, but I also like that Colombian goalkeeper who did the scorpion kick against England. Is it Rene
Higuita?
Yeah. He was.
You like him or just that kick?
Just that kick, I think. Well, he was. You like sort of the wacky keepers who are memorable, like Schmeichel, who sort of
Groppola, the wobbly jelly legs.
Wobbly legs, yeah.
But for me, David Seaman, he was the number one when I was growing up. And for Arsenal and for England, and he was always consistent. So if you think about recent years, so the England number one has always been in and out of the team, making silly mistakes, and they've had to chop and change it. But he was the number one for a good period of time, and he made some incredible saves.
Yeah,
always remember that one against, was it Sheffield United, where he got the ball from behind him in the cup semi-final? That was brilliant.
Can you imagine that with VAR nowadays and the? Obviously, it didn't cross the line, but there'd be a lot of shouting and a lot of stoppages to actually see.
Yeah. Didn't need it, did you?
Just needed Seaman. So that's our goalkeeper.
Okay.
Okay. So as well as a goalkeeper, because you can't just rely on one person or one asset to stop the goals.
We're not a one-man team, are we?
We're not. You can't be a one-man team in your football team or your investment portfolio. So your defenders, they're also important to stop goals, and they can also help with the attack. With the attack. So if they defend too much, and you may stop goals coming in, but you also may reduce your losses. So to me, this is risk. So that is risk. That's what the risk aspect of an investment portfolio. So if you don't take enough risks, you won't get any returns or goals. But if you take too many risks, like if your defenders are going too far forward, they could get caught on the counterattack. So if all your sort of investments or your funds are too aggressive, and in if they're backing risky shares and companies, they could end up with a loss.
Okay. So you could say that if you play too defensive, so if all your assets are basically in cash, then you are inviting pressure on yourself. Nice. And at some point you're going to concede. Inflation is going to erode the value of your assets, and that's going to be conceding a goal. But at the same time, if you go all out attack and you leave yourself no defense, you are going to let in a goal.
Yeah.
And I'd probably add to that one the argument, because I don't necessarily agree with that one. I'm going along with the analogy. So I'd probably say with that one that given time, if you're going all out attack, you should be over the long runs outscoring the other team. So I think in a football analogy, it's right because you've only got 90 minutes. But in the terms of general investing, if you're investing over your lifetime, if you're just attacking, you will have ups and downs, but in the long run, you will be up.
Interesting. Okay. It's fine.
Is that interesting, okay, as in that's not interesting and it's not okay? Or is that, okay, that's a valid argument?
That's my British thing where, people say things, but they really mean something else.
Yeah. So what do you really mean? Come on. I've known you long enough.
I mean, I can't believe you don't agree with my point of view.
Fair enough.
But that's fine. I respect your right to be wrong. So we need to talk about our favourite defenders. Now, is it worth trying to not always talk about Arsenal players, or is it just so happens that all your favourite players are going to be Arsenal players?
You're asking me who my favourite Arsenal player is?
My favourite
defender, but he could be from any team.
Yeah.
Well, Arsenal favourite defender has got to be Tony Adams.
Yeah.
Just sort of a beast of a man.
Yeah.
Commanded the defence, no nonsense, could tackle, could pass, could play. But my favourite thing about him was just his leadership. He just organised everything. You didn't want to mess with him because he was in charge.
He recorded a video message for my brother's stag do.
Did he? Fantastic.
Very kind of me. I just Instagrammed him and he did it. He got his fiance, he's got my sister-in-law's name wrong, but that's fine. That wasn't the worst aspect of a wedding.
Very nice. Because you can nowadays pay for people such as Tony Adams. There's actually a business, I think it's called Cameo, if you want to go on their website, where you can pay celebrities to record messages for you.
Oh. I didn't pay a penny.
Oh, good. Good. Yeah. In for a penny.
We're all about the money saving. So if you don't want to pay, get these people on social media and try and abuse their generosity.
Very good. What about your favourite your favourite defender? That's been non.
Well, I'm doing it. I think I'm not just doing it by skill. I'm going to do it by how memorable they were. Personality. Okay. I'm going to go for Julian Dix. Because he didn't mind giving a kick.
I mean, I think you've got to get in touch with Julian Dix after this podcast, because I don't think anyone's had him as their all-time defender before. So go for it. Why is he your favourite? Okay,
based on how memorable he is, because he didn't really defend as you should defend, did he? He was very much about... He was very aggressive. He's probably the type of defender who would cause you losses. But I think you sort of remember him.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah,
I do remember him. Yeah, just never heard him called the top defender. And if you are listening to this, Julian, of course you're a fantastic player.
Maybe he's not the top one. I think he's one of the most memorable of our era when we were boys.
I tell you what, one of my favourite defenders of recent times is actually John Terry.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, not as a person, because he seems a bit of I wouldn't like to come across him in a dark alley, but he's just put his body on the line for the team, and I respect that.
Well done, John Terry. So we've done our, we've got our goalkeepers, our defensive assets, our defenders, which is risk in my view. So a midfield, the next position is midfielders, who to me,
to you,
I can stop that now. It's the
stop saying to me. I'll stop saying to you.
So I mean, this is based on the old-fashioned box-to-box midfielders, really, which you don't get these days, in my opinion. But is a midfielder is supposed to be the balance between defence and attack, and they need to be able to track back and also go forwards, which to me is similar to diversification, because you don't want everyone tracking forward at the same time, or everyone tracking back. You need people doing different things in your portfolio, same as you want people doing different things on your pitch. And sometimes they could be your, as a team, or your midfielders could be playing well, and then in the first half and in the second they may not, because it's a game of two halves. I didn't work that analogy out as well as I thought I could.
It's a game of two halves. It's a funny old game.
Yeah.
Jumpers for goalposts, 4-4-2.
Yeah. I mean, you don't really get these sorts of midfielders anymore, because you don't really have a midfield anymore, do you?
Don't you? Well, I mean, what team have you been watching?
I'm just thinking about Arsenal, I think.
Yeah, you're right. We haven't got a midfield.
Yeah. What do you reckon? So midfielders, diversification, so, they diversify your team, your strategy.
Yeah, I see where you're going there, that you need to have in your team. I agree that a diversified portfolio is very important. It's paramount. And you could say, your midfield has to be the diversification. It could be in the midfield. You could have a defensive midfielder, an attacking midfielder. You could have a flair player. You could have a sort of no-nonsense player. So, diversification is important, because if you have all your eggs in one basket, well, we know what happens there, don't we, if you drop that basket?
So different.
Well, there you go. So different asset classes will perform well at different times, and therefore, in your portfolio, you need to make sure you have those different asset classes.
Okay. I think I'm going to guess your favourite midfielder now.
Go on.
I think you're going to say Patrick Vieira.
I wasn't. No.
Why is he yours? Did I say mine first?
Yeah.
Patrick Vieira, because I think he is a classic midfielder. Going, he can take it from defence into attack, and he distributes the ball around the pitch, which I think is important. You don't see players like that nowadays. Over to you.
You're growing a moustache.
No, it's just I haven't had time to shave, but thanks for looking.
That's okay. You're in a shirt as well.
So are you.
This isn't really a shirt today.
Hey.
This is a polo shirt today. Long sleeve polo shirt. I have been wearing shirts every day because I do Zoom meetings with clients. I think it's nice to be in a shirt. But I didn't today. I didn't have any client-facing meetings today. So I thought I'm going to dress down, put a long sleeve polo shirt on, live on the edge.
I find I'm more professional. I focus more if I'm in a shirt, if I'm smarter.
Do you really? Because I recall one of our first podcasts was about what to wear for work. I can't remember if that's what you said at that point in time. We need to go back to that and see if you've changed your tune since then.
Life is full of contradictions, but I'm pretty sure that's what I said.
Yeah, or are you?
I'm not sure, but I'm going to...
Or am I?
If anyone else wants to listen.
Yeah. So what was the question? My favourite midfielder?
Yeah.
My favourite, annoyingly, it is Arsenal players. My favourite midfielder, and you're going to be surprised at this one, is actually Ray Parlour.
Oh, yes. The Romford Pele.
The Romford Pele. I just used to love watching him because he gave his all every time he played. He wasn't necessarily the best player out there, wasn't necessarily the most skillful or the best tackler, but he was just a good all-round player who gave 100% in everything he did. I just loved it. I thought, what more could you ask for a player who's pretty decent and gives it his all?
My favourite Ray Parlour moment was in the FA Cup final against Chelsea, when he was making that run and the commentator said, it was only Ray Parlour. And he kept running and running and running.
And then he went and scored.
Scored. Yeah.
Yeah. That's it's a way to shut the commentator up.
Exactly.
I think as well, if you put that Ray Parler one into your analogy about investment portfolios, you don't have to have the best fund all the time. You just have to have something that works for you and for what you're trying to achieve.
Indeed. Okay. And then there's the final position on the pitch is the striker. And the strikers are key to your, because goals help win games, don't they? And so you've got to shoot to score, but then there's a risk.
Shoot to score. Yeah. Hit the goals,
or something like that. To me, that's like volatility. You've got to take a risk. And the more risk you take, the higher likelihood that is that you'll get, not risk, what am I trying to say?
I don't know. Do you want to take a breath?
I'll take a breath. So some teams like to play it safe and pass it around the box. And sometimes you'll only score by taking a risk. And you may sometimes miss, but hopefully enough of your shots will go in.
I don't know about that. Yeah, I think that's a bad one, actually.
Does that not work?
That's sort of saying, just keep going, just pick whatever you want, have loads of shots. I think maybe your better one is you can't win if you don't score. So you need to attack. You need to have investments that are going to grow, that have a chance of growing. And that is by putting equities into your portfolio. The only way for long-term gain, to accumulate and maintain your financial wealth, of our equities, which will be the goals and the goal scorers in your team.
Very nice. That's why you're a financial advisor and I...
And you're the man that's good with words.
From a small family, yeah. Right, yes. Favourite striker, go on.
Favourite striker, there's only one name on my lips now. Should we say it together? One, two, three.
Thierry Henry.
It's got to be our all-time top scorer, and he was just so cool, so calm. Gets the ball, looks towards goal. He could beat 10 players and slot it in. He could do an overhead kick. He could do a header, but nothing fazed him. And when he scored, he was just like, "Yeah, I'm good. I know it."
Yeah,
loved it.
I also liked Ian Wright.
Of course, Wright. Ian Wright, yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, loads more. I just thought I was picking one.
You are picking one.
Yeah. What about your favourite non-Arsenal striker?
Non-Arsenal striker. I like Tony Yeboah.
Did you?
From Leeds. He scored some good goals.
Is it just because he's got that one cracker like from, I don't know if it was the halfway line or something, where it whacked the bar down?
Well, that's one I remember, yeah.
Yeah, I thought that's the one you're thinking of.
Well, he's got memorable goals then. Yeah, memorable goals.
Yeah.
I mean, there's strikers you respect that has an Arsenal fan that always seem to score against Arsenal, like Drogba. Giggs doesn't really count as a striker, does he?
No, he doesn't.
I can't think of any other strikers. Fair enough, but none that I think are the best.
Okay.
So we've got our team there. So we had David Seaman in goal, Tony Adams in defence, Patrick Vieira or Ray Parler in midfield, and Thierry
Henry. Well, I mean, if I'm picking the team that's going to win out of 11 players, I'd probably pick Vieira ahead of Parler. But Parler's my favourite.
Yeah, okay. So then we need, obviously, your manager on the pitch sets kind of a team talk and a tactics. And that's like your financial strategy, your sort of plan. Yeah? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do I what?
No, carry on. You were going to say something pertinent.
So it's all very well having the players on the pitch, but someone's got to be instructing them, guiding them, holding their hands when things go wrong, holding their hands when they might want to make a mistake. For instance, going back to what you said earlier, when there's a market temporary decline, suddenly selling everything. Your manager's there saying, hang on a minute, lads, we've got 90 minutes here. Don't worry about selling everything. We'll get through this and we'll win. So that's what you want your financial advisor, your financial planner doing. Things like when legislation changes or tax rules change, that you want the manager or the financial planner being on top of it and saying, right, new tactics, lads. Was 4-4-2, it's now 4-3-3.
Nice. What's your favourite formation?
I love a 4-4-2. I'm old school, mate, yeah.
Yeah, we need more 4-4-2s. It's all about, what is it now, like 4-2-3-1?
It's just, I mean, I can't do that many numbers in a row.
Yeah. Is that too many players? 4-2-3-1.
It sounds like quite a lot.
Yeah. Never seems like enough at Arsenal. And then
I think, by the way, I think 4-2-3-1 is the right number of players, just to confirm that for you. See you panicking.
Yeah. And do you have a favourite manager? Are you going to say Arsene Wenger?
Do you want me to?
No, I want you to say whatever you feel.
Favourite manager? Favourite Arsenal manager would have to be Arsene Wenger, because he was there so long during my heyday and revolutionised the club and was just fantastic what he achieved. The manager I respect the most has got to be Sir Alex Ferguson. Nice. For being a winner for so long. It's unbelievable what he did. I can't see anyone doing that again.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah. Okay. And then you've got the league, the Premiership, and that's like your peers.
And Piers Morgan?
No, your peers, P-E-E-R-S.
Oh, peas, as in like mushy peas?
P-E-E-R-S.
Okay, yeah. That's your school timetable, is it? Physical education followed by religious studies?
No, it's like your...
P-E and N-R-S?
P-E-E-R-S.
Oh, peers.
I mean, that's what I said, isn't it?
Yeah, I was just messing with you.
Okay. So, and that's like your investment performance. Where you are in the league, your sort of standings. And some years you may be on the top. Sometimes you may be near the bottom. Something about form being temporary, class being permanent. I don't think that works there.
Did you not think that one through? Did you get bored by the time you got to leagues? I would be wary of using the league as to benchmark performance. I think the most important performance benchmark is, are you on target to achieve your goals? So it doesn't really work, I would necessarily say, to compare it to a sporting field, because in sport you want to win. You want to be top of the league and you want to win. And yes, you'll always have little things on the way about you want to get better and improve, but really sport is about winning. Where in terms of your personal finance, you don't need to worry about what other people did. This guy's in this fund and he got that, and this guy's got 10 cars. It's about achieving the things you want to achieve and not worrying about others. So I'm disagreeing with you.
That's fine. It's fine to disagree. On that one, I agree. I didn't do the... did I do the British thing? I don't know. So that's the league. Do you want to talk? What's your favourite league?
My favourite league?
Yeah.
I don't know. So, I mean, that's a fantastic question. I don't think anyone in the history of sporting journalism has ever said, what's your favourite league? I obviously follow the Premier League, because that's where I am. I keep an eye on the National League, because my local team, Boreham Wood, are in there. That's about it, really. And now they don't have time for much more football than that.
Yeah.
What about you? What's your favourite league, Mark?
I think the Premier League.
Yeah?
Yeah. I like having a little look at the BBC Sport app and seeing where people are, how teams are doing. So that's my way of explaining. Maybe I'll try it with a friend, with your tips as well. A friend who's not as financially savvy as you, and let you know how it goes. But do you think that's a useful way of doing it? Do you think people need
that's a nice fun way that you could chat to your friends that follow football to get them understanding investments a bit more. So I think that's good. Well done.
First, I need to find some friends.
Yeah.
Thank you for the reassurance. Is that all we have time for then?
I will ask one more question before we go, because that probably is the main part of the podcast. How's your exercise going?
It's I'm trying to do things once or twice a week.
So what are you doing?
Well, there's a lot of YouTube works out. I've got to stop drinking. A lot of YouTube workouts that I've been doing.
Yeah.
They're quite tough. I've been doing a lot of cycling.
Yeah, where have you been going?
I cycled with my daughter to about a mile away. We cycled about a mile to one of her friend's houses and back. I mean, I know she cycled to your house with my wife the other day.
Yeah, I got a surprise. I could hear kids talking out the window. Look out the window, and your wife and daughter are sitting on my front lawn. Lovely.
Doing socially distanced play dates.
Yeah, lovely.
Yeah, that's good. Are you into cycling at all?
No, I'm not. I can cycle. I haven't done it for years, but I don't think one of my strengths is balance. So I don't feel that confident to cycle in the road.
Did your treadmill come?
I was telling you about that, wasn't I? Finally, we had a text message this weekend. The weekend just gone, so it's going to be delivered this Friday. So only about 6 or 7 weeks late. So missed most of the lockdown fitness regime, but better late than never. And we'll still be using it after the lockdown, so that's good.
That's good.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll chat again. And who knows, we may be almost out of lockdown by the time we next do a podcast.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Well, Mark, it's been a pleasure as always.
It sure has.
Speak to you soon.
Goodbye. Thank you for listening. Please remember, anything discussed in this programme should not be viewed as financial advice. But if you do need support, please contact me at Mark, M-A-R-C, at cavendishcontent.com. Or visit the Orchard Practice website at www.topfs.co.uk.
You can also find us on Twitter at InForAPennyPod1, at Mark Schoffman, and at Josh Gerstler. If you'd like to leave us feedback, there's a link in the show notes telling you how to do that. We really appreciate any comments you provide.
And do post any financial issues you'd like us to cover.
Thank you for being
In For A Penny.